Our foundational scripture tonight will be found in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 11th and the 12th verses. And then we're going to go over to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the 9th and the 12th verses. And I will begin with Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And give me one moment to get there. My computer is a little slow tonight. And I know the scripture. And I'm going to actually start at I'm going to start at 11. And he gave some, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors. And you know what? I'm just going to stop this recording so I can start over. It's kind of messed up right now. So let me stop. Okay, welcome to Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. Our foundational scripture tonight is found in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 11th and the 12th verses. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse, I'll read 9 through 12 verses. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as gold and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. So the title for tonight's message is Apostolic Leaders and the Houses They Build or the Houses That They Tear Down. And the reason that I say the houses that they tear down, because we have a spirit of Saul that is running rampant in the church today, and this spirit is holding back members in their church, and they are not allowing them to grow in their gifts, in their callings, in their talents, in their skills, in their abilities because of jealousy. And King Saul, when he saw David operating in the fullness of his giftings and his calling, once he inducted him into his army after he killed Goliath, at first he was very, very excited. And he did everything he was supposed to do as a leader to David. And he was thankful and grateful for all that David was doing because he was a great leader. And he did a very good job operating in his spiritual gifts and being the great prayer warrior and warrior that he was. He was a mighty man of valor, and David won many, many victories. And the people, they used to praise Saul. They never stopped praising him, but they praised him. But when David came, they praised David based on how many people that he had killed in these wars. And so symbolically, Saul got jealous of David's tens of thousands versus his thousands. So the greater the battle, the greater the victory was. And so King Saul was jealous, and he got angry at David, and he threw the javelin at David. He tried to kill David, and he put a hit out on David. He assigned mercenaries to kill him. He even pursued him himself. He did everything he could to shut David down and prevent him from operating in his God-given gifts. Because David, even though he was a shepherd boy, and I know that we opened up with Ephesians 4, 11, and 12, but I just have to tap into David and Saul before I get into the meat and potatoes of this message, because the spirit of Saul, like I said, is running rampant in the body of Christ, and this spirit does not want to appropriate the word of God. This spirit does not want to see God's people edified and built up. So it is a counterfeit spirit. It is a false spirit working with the spirit of apostasy in the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of division and separation. And it works against the true saints of God that have a desire to grow and learn and want to operate in their gifts and calling, and they want to be edified. They want to be taught. They want to be trained. They want to be corrected. They don't like being wrong, and they don't like being out of order. But what do you do when you can't get trained? What do you do? Where do you go? In David's case, David ran because he didn't know what else to do. And so Saul's son, Jonathan, he was friends with David, and he told him to hide and that he was going to talk to his father, and if the report was good for him, he would send a message by his servant that it was okay for David to come back. But if it wasn't good for him, he was going to give him instructions and tell him he had to keep on moving because Saul was going to try and shut him down. So I say all of that to say the spirit of Saul is trying to shut down the body of Christ, cause division and dissensions, which is the total opposite of the scriptures that I shared in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And I read it in the King James Version. And I'm going to open up the Amplified Version so we can see what it says. And we're going to revisit the verses in Ecclesiastes again, because Ecclesiastes clearly tells us that, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. That which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as gold and as nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. So here we find the characteristics and the duties of a true shepherd, a true preacher. And the very first words of the very first, I'm going to say, characteristic that a preacher would have is to have wisdom. Because it says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, and he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. So that means he was a student of the word, and that means that he had wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and he took good heed. That means he was careful about what he taught. He was careful about what he sought out, and he set in order many proverbs. And the preacher sought to find acceptable words. And so now I need to go back to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, because it says,
And now this is the Amplified Version. And his gifts to the church were varied. And he himself, talking about Jesus, appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service, to build up the body of Christ, the church. So now we're going to get back into the message. And again, the title of this message is Apostolic Leaders and the Houses They Build, or the Houses That They Tear Down. So as we just learned in Ephesians 4:11 and 12, and Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, there are certain things that a pastor, that a preacher should do. And he should search out acceptable words, and he should speak the truth, because it says even words of truth, but it's all to edify the body of Christ. So what is an apostolic leader, and why is it that we hear so much about apostles and prophets today? So the background for this message, we're in the interruptions. God, I praise you. You are still worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. So the background for this message, many people have been held back, which is why I brought up the subject of King Saul and David. David was held back. David had to stop. He could no longer operate in his position in the army because Saul wanted to shut him down. After Saul got envious and jealous, David literally had to run for his life. So today, there are many people that have been held back in the church. There are many people that have been rejected in the church. There are many people that have been hurt in the church. And they've been hurt by leadership. They've been hurt by members of the church. They have been hurt by administration. So hurt people hurt people. And leadership has forbidden these people to utilize their God-ordained gifts that God deposited inside of them to glorify God and to edify our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we do have some preachers and some teachers and some pastors and some evangelists and some teachers and some apostles. They are teaching. They are doing everything the right way. They're doing everything that God wants them to do. But then we have some that pervert the gifts, the skills, the talents, and the abilities, and they control what their members do, and they want them to do it their way, and they want them to submit to self-centered leadership versus submitting to God-centered leadership. And we're going to break that down as we go throughout this topic. But the question that I want to present is, do you believe that many operating in the senior pastor role, do they have the ascension gift of a pastor? And I'm asking that question because a lot of times the pastor is in the role of a pastor, but he's not fulfilling the duties of a pastor. Now, the ascension gifts are the fivefold ministry. Now, a lot of times we hear different phrases, so I just want to break it down. Whenever you hear the fivefold ministry, it's talking about the ascension gifts. And the ascension gifts are the apostles, the prophets, the pastor, the teachers, and the evangelists. All five are just as important. The apostle is not better than the teacher. The prophet is not better than the pastor. The pastor is not better than the evangelist. And the evangelist is not better than the teacher. And that's why we need the study to show ourselves approved, because if we don't know what God's word says, we will allow people to dictate to us how these ascension gifts or these fivefold leaders are supposed to operate. Now, sometimes an apostle can operate in any of those ascension gifts. They can operate in more than one office. So they can be, somebody can be an apostle and they can also walk in a prophetic office. You can be a pastor, but you can also be a teacher, as we just read in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 with the Amplified Version. And what I love about the Amplified Version is it clearly broke down what each ascension gift does. And it says that the apostles are special messengers or representatives. And the prophets are men and women who speak a new message from God to the people. And the evangelist is someone who spreads the good news of salvation. And now, all of these offices is more detailed with what they do, because the prophets, they do more than just speak the message of God to the people. The prophet will come, God will send a prophet on an assignment, and that prophet can go, and there's a tearing down that takes place so that God can build up. The prophet, God uses the prophet to establish order in the church sometimes. And a lot of times when a prophet goes to a church, sometimes people get afraid, and I don't know to this day why they get afraid. And I mean, I know why, but because a prophet sees a lot, and a lot of times people don't want to be seen. They don't want to be exposed, and so they become afraid. And we shouldn't become afraid. God uses prophets to also sound the alarm, but God can use anybody to sound the alarm. If he could use a donkey to speak to Balaam, then he could use whomever he chooses. But the bottom line is these ascension gifts had a specific job, and it was to fully equip and perfect the saints of God. So for those that have been hurt in the church, for those that are not able to operate in their callings and their giftings, what do they do? Where do they go? I'm sorry for the interruption. So my answer to the question about the ascension gifts of a pastor, ascension is taken from the root word to ascend. And ascend is to move upward, to go upward, usually vertically or into the air. It's to climb up something such as a hill or a stairway. Lead upward is to rise or lead to a higher level. It's to rise to a higher career or a higher position. You could get promoted on your job. It's to rise through the ranks to a higher status. Now, as believers in Christ, we have all gone through storms. We have all been, we've had mountaintop experiences. We've had valley experiences. There were times when we was beat down so low, we didn't know how we was going to rise above our circumstances. There were times when we were in the darkness and we didn't see our way out. But somewhere in the midst of that darkness, God made a way out of no way. And we saw that light at the end of the tunnel, and we followed that light. And so we made an upward move, and we rose higher, and we came out of the darkness into God's marvelous light. And he delivered us, and he made a way for us. So moreover, because the preacher was wise,
he still taught the people knowledge, and he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. So these ascension gifts, the preacher should be wise. The preacher should not be foolish. And so I'm going to break down the foolish leaders and the wise leaders. But first, I want to break down the definition of a gold. A gold is a stick that the shepherd uses to prod the cattle. In the context of this text, a wise preacher will use his words as a gold, as a stick, to provoke or incite the body of Christ, which is his sheep, into action. They will help lead and support them with advancing forward and beyond. Remember, they are ascension gifts. So their goal is to see you rise higher. Their goal is to establish God's power and authority in the churches, and to ensure that the word of God is being preached right, that it's being taught right, and that the people is growing, and that, church discipline, all of these things are being addressed, because God is a God of order. But the fivefold, the ascension gifts, their job is to rightly divide the word of truth and to edify the body of Christ. And everybody has spiritual gifts. But if we are not being taught, about our spiritual gifts, and then if we do not have an opportunity to grow in those giftings, to practice those gifts, how do we arise in those areas? How do we know if God has really called us to preach if we're not given the opportunity to preach? How do we know that we've been called to teach if we're not given the opportunity to teach? How do we know that we really have been called to pray? Because some people are called to the ministry of intercessory prayer. And it's a big call, and it's a big responsibility. And it's something that we should not take lightly. But again, sometimes you're not allowed to pray in the church, especially if you have an anointing upon your life, and when you pray, God opens up the windows of heaven through the anointing that operates in you, through you, and when you pray, it's the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit praying through you. It's the same with the spiritual giftings. It's the Holy Spirit that is operating through us. And so we all have spiritual gifts, and the spiritual gifts are recorded in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. So some have, the gifts are without repentance, and they are distributed according to God's will. And he gives each of us a measure. So he may give you a greater gift of prophecy. He may give me a greater gift of discernment. But it doesn't mean that I'm better than you. And it doesn't mean that you're better than me. It means that he gave you enough grace to operate in that gift that he gave you. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not strong enough to operate in that gift the way you are, because he gave that extra measure to you. But when we don't understand this, people get jealous. And they covet the gift of other people. And that's exactly what happened with King Saul. King Saul got jealous. King Saul did not understand that it was the Holy Ghost that was operating through David. And there was a time when Saul was humbly submitted to the biblical authority of God's word. And there was a time when Saul did everything that God told him to do. And the same Holy Spirit that operated through David, even though back in the Old Testament, we really didn't know a lot about the Holy Spirit, but David being led by the Holy Ghost,
He was able to kill a lion and a bear. And you see, God was developing the spiritual gifts inside of David while he was a shepherd boy tending the sheep. And he got looked down on, and they talked about him, and they thought he was a troublemaker. But God was developing the spiritual gifts that were inside of David. And David was anointed to be king while he was a shepherd boy, because God knew what he had deposited inside of David. And it did not matter what Saul thought. It didn't matter what his brothers thought. It didn't even matter what his fathers thought about David, because God knew what was inside of David. And because David was in a good relationship with God, David stayed in fellowship with God. So once he went to the battlefield where Goliath was taunting the Israelites, and they cowered in fear, David was fearless, because David had already strategically killed a lion and a bear. You see, David knew what his spiritual gifts was. David knew what his calling was. He was a shepherd. Yes, he was. But my God, he was called to defend the sheep. He was called to protect the sheep. And so the lion came and the bear came, and David wasn't scared. David said, I must protect the sheep. So let's go back to the office of a pastor for a moment. A pastor must protect the sheep, but the pastors don't want to protect the sheep today. The pastors want to ignore and neglect the sheep because they're jealous of the sheep, the same way that Saul was jealous of David. We're talking about apostolic leaders and the houses that they build and the houses that they tear down. So if they are tearing down God's house, and if they are not teaching and preaching, and if they're not rightly dividing the word of truth, and if they're not allowing the members of their church to grow, are they really apostles? Are they really apostolic leaders? Are they really ascension gifts to the body of Christ? Or are they false prophets? Pause and think about that. We're talking about God's word. Excuse me. Not my word. God said in Ephesians 4, and his gifts to the church were varied. He himself appointed some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints. So long story short, I don't care about all of these programs. I don't care about all of these traditions. I don't care about all these religious ceremonies. Are you, and I ain't talking about you, but and you means the spiritual leaders and everyone that just loves to call themselves, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm an evangelist, I'm a teacher, I'm a preacher. Call me by my name. Call me by my title. I'm apostle so-and-so. I'm prophet so-and-so. But I don't care about no titles. What I care about is God's word and God's instruction. Are you rightly dividing the word of truth? Are you fully equipping and perfecting the saints? Are you hurting God's people, or are you helping God's people? Are you building up God's house? Are you tearing down God's house? God is not pleased with all of these prophet liars, all of these apostles, apostolic liars that go by a title and they are not doing the work. You are not impressing God. You are upsetting God, and God is tired of the stench that is going up in his nostrils. Because his people are getting wounded and they are leaving the church.
by numbers they are leaving. And some of them are turning away from God. Some of them are gifted and anointed by God. They know what their gifts are. They know what their calling is. But they are afraid. And they running for their lives like David did. David knew who he was. David was anointed at a young age. Most of these men and women of God that have truly been called by God, they was anointed at a young age. And there were some things that happened in their lives, just like David, that tried to turn them around, that tried to steal their glory, that tried to shut them down, that tried to steal their voice, that tried to steal their power, that tried to steal their authority. And for a little bit, it appeared as if they was winning, but as the story goes on, hallelujah, David hid in the cave. And as he hid in the cave, Saul and his men entered into this very cave that David and his men were in. And so David went over and he cut the little mantle, a little clip of Saul's mantle. And David really could have killed Saul that very moment. But because he was a humble man, because he reverenced God, because he remembered the scripture that said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. So even though Saul was doing him wrong, David said, I'm not, and I'm just paraphrasing, I'm not going to kill him. I'm not going to do any more damage, but I'm going to keep this piece of his mantle. I'm going to take it with me, and I'm going to let him live because this is God's man of God. So we need to be careful with how we treat God's men and women of God. Even when they don't do right by us, it's not our place to correct them, to condemn them, or to judge them. Now, we can rightly judge, yes, God gives us that authority. And many people don't understand that. But if you don't judge by the word of God says, and you shall know them by their fruits. So what kind of fruit are you recognizing? If you see bad fruit, it's okay for you to judge it. Why would you continue to stay somewhere where it's bad fruit, where it's fruit of darkness, where there's rotten fruit? God is not going to feed you no rotten fruit. God wants you to get fresh fruit, fresh bread every day. God wants us to get a well-balanced meal. So what happened? The truth was revealed. And so David exposed himself to Saul, and Saul was like, David, is that you? And he answers him, and then Saul felt so stupid. He's like, wow. He was right here. He cut my mantle. He cut my robe. He could have killed me. So at that very moment, God exposed to Saul that all that he made up in his mind. See, because Saul had it in his mind that David was trying to take his throne, that David, you know, was after him. And that was foolishness. David wasn't concerned about Saul's office or his throne. All David wanted to do was serve Saul. All David wanted to do was protect Saul and protect the Israelites and do what he was appointed to do as an officer in the army of God. And David also was a prayer leader. He was a worship leader, and he played his musical instrument. David was content doing what he was doing. And was it David's fault that he was good, that he was anointed, that he was proficient in his giftings, in his calling? I don't think so. And that's why today, the more we grow, the more we learn, the more proficient we come in our spiritual gifts and calling, it's a whole nother level of rejection. It's a whole nother level of intimidation. It's a whole nother level of manipulation. Not where those that are gifted and are proud to represent God with the spirit of excellence. And I'm going to tell you something. If God ordained me to kill a lion and a bear and a giant, I'm because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. It is time for the body of Christ to line up with the word of God and do what God says. It is time for us to operate in our gifts and in our callings. And let me tell you something. If any leader, spiritual leader, if they not doing right by you, I'm not telling you to get up and leave that church, but I am telling you to get on your face and see God. Go to God and talk to God and ask God, God, this is going on. What do you want me to do? I don't feel like staying here. I'm being mistreated. I can't operate in my gifts. It's so much jealousy. It's so much envy. It's so much strife. It's not even comfortable in there. And then you let God tell you what to do. Because sometimes God wants us to stay right in the midst of that mess so that he can mature us, so that he can perfect us, so that he can teach us what not to do. And sometimes God will say, daughter, son, come out from among them. I'm going to move you because I'm getting ready to bring judgment to that house. And I don't want you to be there when judgment comes. And you see, they playing with me and they playing with the gift. They don't even love me. I'm not even there. They not worshiping me. That is self-centered leadership. It's all about entertainment, because the more they entertain, the more the people get high on their emotions and their feelings, and they give up their money. And there's so much pimping in the pulpit. There's so much prostitution. And I don't want you to be in this environment. And I knew I didn't want you to be there, but I needed you to see the bad fruit. I needed you to see. I needed to give you a demonstration of my word that says, and you shall know them by their fruits. So now that I'm teaching you, you see, you've been relying on the pastor to teach you, and you've been relying on the evangelist to teach you. And I know we don't hear much about evangelists anymore, but back in the day, the evangelists, they used to preach and they used to teach the word. And a lot of times they were great evangelists. And when we knew that an evangelist was coming into town, we was running to get to church because we knew that there was a word from the Lord. But if that evangelist is not teaching you, and that prophet is not teaching you, and that pastor is not teaching you, and that apostle is not teaching you, guess what? When you study to show yourself approved unto me, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, I am teaching you. The Holy Ghost is your counselor. The Holy Ghost is your teacher. When you are connected to me, I will teach you. You don't have to look at man to teach you. Yes, that's what I established. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But even with that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, whether your spiritual leader is preaching or teaching or not, it is our responsibility to study God's word and to know what God's word means for us. God, I thank you for this message tonight. And I'm going to pause here for a moment, because a goad is a stick that the shepherd uses to prod the cattle. Are you being prodded tonight? Is the shepherd's goad, is the stick, is the word tonight prodding you? Is the word exciting you tonight? Is the word piercing your heart tonight? It's piercing my heart. And my heart is broken. And my heart is sad. Because so many people that call themselves leaders, they are not doing what God has called them to do. And they're hurting God's people. And God is not pleased. And I do not believe that many senior pastors are operating in the ascension gift of a pastor. And I do not believe that many pastors operate in the gift of shepherding either. And that really bothers me. That really, really bothers me. If a pastor has been called by God, he should have the gift of shepherding. And you shall know them by their fruit. And I'm going to go back to David for a moment, because when David was that shepherd boy, I said he cared for the sheep. He didn't care about nothing else. He knew that his job was to take care of the sheep. You see, he wasn't just a shepherd boy. Because later in 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, God tells David, he speaks to the prophet Nathan, and Nathan talks to David, and the message was, I took you from the sheepcote. God took David from the sheepcote. He took him from tending the sheep, and now he placed him second, you know, first in command over all of Egypt, because now Saul is no longer king. Saul lost his kingdom. Now David is appointed as king. God took him from the sheepcote, and because he learned how to operate in the gifts of a shepherd, now he was able to be a great leader over the people that God had assigned to him. Even with your calling today, you don't have to be a pastor to have the gift of shepherding. Because many people have the gift of a shepherd, but they're not a pastor. But they look after the sheep, and they take care of the sheep, and they protect the sheep. A lot of times, the mothers in the church, they protect the sheep. Sometimes they even protect the shepherds because they see things. They're wise, they're seasoned, they're intercessors. But they have the gift of shepherding. And sometimes they shepherd the pastor, but they shepherd the flock. They help take care of the people in the church. What are you doing to take care of God's people? What do you do when you see that God's house is being torn down versus being built up? Now, I want to tell you why I believe that many senior pastors are not operating in the gift of shepherding. And I have to go back to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter and the 9th and the 12th verse, because it says that, moreover, because the preacher was wise. Now, today in some of these churches, some of the church leaders, they are foolish. Not all church leaders fall into this category, so I need to be careful with what I'm saying. But some church leaders, they are very foolish. And the ones that are holding back their members, it's safe to say that they desperately need our prayers. And so I pray that God is speaking to your heart, that he is giving you some prayer directives as I minister this word tonight. Earlier, I gave the definition of ascend, and the opposite of ascend is to descend, is to go down. It's to go down a staircase, it's to go down a hill, it's to go down a valley, it's to make a downward incline. When Lucifer was up in heaven with God, he made a downward spiral. He descended down. He got kicked out of heaven. And guess what? All of these so-called spiritual foolish leaders, they are causing members of their church to have a downward spiral. And they're doing it on purpose because they're trying to booby trap them, and they don't want them to come into the fullness of what God has called them to be. And some of them are straight up imposters. Some of them started out good, but somewhere in their walk with God, they got distracted and they went down the wrong path. Going back to the question at hand, I believe that many pastors are not operating in the ascension gift because they are holding their members back. They are not preaching. They are not teaching. They are not training. They are not leading by example. 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, the first and the third verse, it says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." And this is causing them to descend versus, this is causing them to descend versus us in the things of God. And Hosea, the fourth chapter and the sixth verse says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." So I believe that the culprit is self-centered leadership versus God-centered leadership. You see, God-centered leadership is going to submit to the biblical authority of God's word. But self-centered leadership, they don't care about God. They're not going to submit to the biblical authority of God's word. They're not even going to submit to God because they're not even serving God. They're not worshiping God. They're playing with God, and they're worshiping Satan, who is their father, the father of lies. We must judge according to the word of God. We must examine the fruit. We must try the spirit by the spirit. What kind of leadership are you following today? What is the difference between self-centered leadership and God-centered leadership? Well, let's break it down. Self-centered leadership is concerned only with self. Their primary focus is promoting self. It's all about their ministry. It's their church, and it's their agenda, and it's their plans, and it's their purpose. Versus the ministry of God, that versus the ministry that God gave to them to oversee for him, and the job that God gave them to spread the gospel, to heal the sick, to help the poor and the needy, the widows and the fatherless. What about when new converts come to Christ and they get saved? We don't hear nobody talking about salvation first. Okay, that's what happened when you got saved. And then we have sanctification. There's a sanctification process, and the word of God tells us that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and it is an ongoing process that happens until the day that Jesus Christ returns. So we have salvation, we have sanctification. Then we have acknowledgement of our calling. We start to learn who we are and what God has called us to do. And then we have the sending, the going ye therefore. And how can all of this stuff happen if we're not being taught, if we're not being trained, if we're being shut down? How can sheep learn when they don't have a real shepherd? Some, not all church leaders, they don't even do home visitation. Some do. They don't visit the sick. They don't visit the shut-in. They don't clothe the naked. They don't give a cool drink of water to those that are thirsty. But they will get mad at the members that desire to do these things. They will get mad at the members that are doing these things on their own time outside of their ministry. And if they find out that you're doing God's work outside of their ministry,
And if you get a couple of members from the church that's interested and they want to help you, then you get falsely accused of stealing members from their church and trying to start your own church. And you could care less about starting your church. And the truth of the matter is you don't even care about church, because for you, it's all about relationship. And for you, it's about being a church without walls. For you, it's about doing God's will. It's about seeking to please God and to reach his people, because the bottom line is you care about God's sheep. And you want to see God's sheep protected. You want to see them fed. You want to see them clothed. And that's why we do outreach ministry. And that's why we go to the prison ministry. And that's why we pray for people. And that's why we cook a meal for somebody down the street that don't have food. And that's why we help that homeless family. We don't do these things just because we want to be seen. We do these things because that's what believers do. The good Samaritan, when he saw the man beaten by the side of the road, he didn't say, that's not my responsibility. He didn't know that man. But he took him to the inn, and he made sure he got first aid, medical care. He made sure he got food. He made sure he got washed up and cleaned, a nice bed to sleep in, and he paid for his stay there. And if it's not enough, I'm going to pay you when I come back. So not only did he help him, but he came back and took care of the bill. He wasn't even a pastor. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a teacher. He wasn't an evangelist. He was a Samaritan. Do you know that they looked down at Samaritans back in those days because they wasn't true Jews? Do you know that racism and prejudice was in existence back then? We're talking about the word of God tonight. We're talking about rightly dividing the word of God. We're talking about apostolic leaders and the houses that they build or the houses that they tear down. I hope you're being blessed by this message tonight. Some church leaders are not submitting to the biblical authority of God's word. And they are submitting to the foolish ways of man. Because these sheep have humbled themselves and desire to please the Lord and serve him by rightly dividing the word of truth, and you'll find that in 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter and the 15th verse, talked about studying and show ourselves approved unto God. Many senior pastors have a problem with this because they don't want the saints really studying the word, because if the saints really study the word, they're going to realize that they're really not a pastor, they're really not a prophet, they're really not a teacher, they're really not an evangelist, and they're really not an apostle. And the more people that figure that out, it's going to expose them and it's going to mess up their whole gig. Because they didn't go to seminary school. They didn't go through the training that they went through, if they went through it. Because if you really listen to their teaching and their preaching, they really not in the word. But it sounds good and it looks good. And sometimes they mix a little bit of the word with a little bit of lies. But you really got to know the word for yourself. Self-centered leadership will lead the people to self, to man and his ways. Many of these leaders are operating in a spirit of haughtiness. They are extremely jealous, envious, condescending, territorial, intimidating, and they are afraid that the God-centered sheep or member is going to outshine them, because, again, it's all about them and it's not about God. And this is why I've been highlighting Saul, King Saul, and David throughout this message. So let's go to 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, the 6th and the 8th verses. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said,
Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but 1,000s. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And that was the lie right there. All of the times that I have heard some preacher, some teacher, teach this scripture, nobody ever exposed this lie right there. What can he have more but the kingdom? Now, although it was a truth, it was a lie in the context of what he was saying. Now, Saul perceived in his spirit, remember, the gifts are without repentance. So I believe that Saul discerned that God was going to give the kingdom to David. But it wasn't the appointed time. My God, it's all about timing. So he, being intimidated and jealous, I mean, we just read it. It says it displeased him that David killed 10,000. So let's go back to the spiritual gifts that I was talking about in the beginning. These leaders see you operate, and not you, but they see God's sheep operating in their spiritual gifts, and they get jealous. And they don't want to see them operate in the gifts because they don't want them to outshine them. And the truth of the matter is, if you teaching and you training me and I'm operating in the fullness of what God has called me to be and do for him, you should be happy for me. I want you to do better than me. For people that's been coming on this prayer line for years, some people keep in contact with me and some people don't. And you know what? I pray that they doing better than me. I pray that they took what they got when they was here and that they are working it and that they have grown and that they have matured and that they are walking in their calling. They are walking in their gifting and that they are proficient with their spiritual gifts and that they are taking care of God's sheep, because I never taught anybody to operate in the spirit of Saul. I never taught anybody on this prayer line to mistreat God's people. So if anybody that ever came to this ministry is doing any of those things, then I pray for them in Jesus' name. But that's not what we are about here. Arise and shine for Jesus' ministry. It is exactly that. This is about Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I get upset when the word of God is not being preached or taught right. I get upset when the people of God are being bamboozled. And it's a whole lot of bamboozling taking place. So when it is self-centered leadership, you will have a Saul and a David situation. Saul hated David. He once loved him, but then he hated David. It's a thin line between love and hate. And a couple of months ago, I did a sermon and I said, I found love on a two-way street and lost it on a lonely highway. Saul loved David, but then he hated David. God has an awesome way of breaking down his word and bringing certain phrases back to me. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. David loved Saul. And all he wanted to do was humbly serve Saul. But Saul got caught up in the numbers, and he was jealous, and he envied David's position. And he tried to kill him. He put a hit out on him and tried to assassinate him. When it comes to God-centered leadership, you will have an Elijah and an Elisha situation. So let's take a look at that for a moment, and we'll find that in 1 Kings, the second chapter, the 8th through the 14 verses. And Elijah, he took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing.
Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they went still on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And verse 12 says, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. So Elijah was mentioned. Elijah was mentored. Elijah was trained, and Elijah was under Elijah's leadership, and he received Elijah's mantle. And thus, when he smote the water with Elijah's mantle that now became his mantle, remember, Elijah received a double portion. So when he smote the waters and the waters parted hither and thither and Elijah went over, guess what? Elijah stepped into his ministry. He fully began to operate in his prophetic office. So let me go back to the foolish leaders, okay? Why did I capitalize foolish? This is not an easy place to be, because these foolish church leaders will devise devices against the members of their church. Don't believe me? Just read Jeremiah 8:18 and 18. And see what they did to the prophet Jeremiah. And give me one moment while I turn to Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. If that's the only scripture that I did not write down. And while I'm opening that scripture up, I want to go back to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the 9th and the 12th verses, because there's some points that I need to break down. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Now, how many times did I read this scripture tonight? If you're really paying attention, I read Ephesians a couple of times. I read Ecclesiastes a couple of times. Sometimes we need to hear the word of God over and over. I'm the type of preacher, when I preach the word, I want to give scriptures because I don't want it to be my words. I could talk all day long, but I need to give you some references so that you can go and read the word for yourself, so that you can study the word and you could go to God and you could say, God, this isn't what she was saying. She said such and such. So if you find that I said something wrong, then it's your job to come to me and say, sis, hey, I don't think it was intentional, but you didn't really say this right because I went and I studied and this is what the word of God says. And then I need to humble myself and say, wow, thank you for, you know, following up. You know, thank you for being my keeper, because we are our brothers and our sisters' keeper. But we don't always do that. And then sometimes people feel intimidated. Like, how am I going to go tell a preacher or a teacher that they didn't rightly divide the word of God? Well, it's all about presentation. It's all about humbling yourself. And it's all about being bold enough to do what God is calling you to do. If you love me, why would you allow me to operate in the spirit of error? So we all need to learn how to operate in the power and authority that God has given us. But let's break down Ecclesiastes 12 and Jeremiah 18:18. Let me go there for a moment. In verse 18, this is what happened. They said, then, this is Jeremiah talking. He said, then my enemy said, come, and let us work out schemes against Jeremiah. Surely the law is not going to be lost to the priest, as Jeremiah predicts, nor the counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, and let us strike him with our tongue by making charges against him before the king, and let us ignore anything he says. In verse 19, pay attention to me, O Lord, and intercede. Listen to what my adversaries are saying and are plotting against me.
Should good be repaid with evil? Yet they have dug a pit for me. Remember with compassion that I stood before you to speak good on their behalf, to turn your anger away from them. Therefore, give their children over to famine. Give them over to the power of the sword, and let their wives become childless and widowed. Let their men meet death by virulent disease, and their young men be struck down by the sword in battle. Let an outcry be heard from their houses when you suddenly bring a troop of raiders upon them, for they have dug a pit to capture me and have hid snares from my feet. My God. The last verse, verse 23, says, yet you, O Lord, know. Yet you, O Lord, know. God knows. God knows. God knows. He said, yet, O Lord, you, yet you, O Lord, know. You know, you know, you know. God, you know. You see all things. You are El Roi. Jeremiah is saying, yet you, O Lord, know all their deadly plotting against me. Do not forgive their wickedness or blot out their sin from your sight, but let them be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger. So let me go back to the title of this message for a moment, because the title of this message is Apostolic Leaders in the Houses They Build or the Houses They Tear Down. Now, the true apostolic leader is not going to tear down God's house because they love God. They follow in God-centered leadership. They are humble. They are meek and lowly like Jesus. They understand their role as a pastor, as a prophet, as a teacher, as an apostle, as an evangelist. They understand that it is their reasonable service to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is their reasonable service. They understand that they must not be conformed to this world, but they shall be transformed by the renewing of their mind. And they also understand that they must teach the word of God. And everything that I said earlier, salvation, sanctification. Sending, studying, sending. Each one, reach one, teach one. Each one, reach one, teach one. Each one, reach one, teach one. If we really edifying and teaching and building each other up, I'm sorry. We should have more houses built for God today. I ain't talking about churches. We should have more houses built for God. You know, a lot of churches today, they have cell groups, and outside of church, they have assigned leaders, and they have meetings, and they house to house, and they break bread, they share the word, they take communion, they pray for one another. It is growing, and people are growing. The word of God is spread, and people are getting saved. Family members are getting healed and delivered, and they're not in no church. So we got to get this church crap out of our minds, because church, we are the church. The building that we go to, it's a building. Some of these buildings, they say God is there, but God isn't there. And I hope that this message is helping you to understand that there's good fruit and there's bad fruit in God's house. So let me give you these points from Ecclesiastes 12, 12 chapter, the 9th and the 12th verses. So if the preacher is wise, he will teach wisdom and lead the people upward. So if you're in a church where your pastor, your preacher, your teacher, whatever, is not wise and they're not teaching you wisdom and they're not leading you upward, then you need to rethink about a couple of things. You need to revisit a couple of things. You need to talk to God. If the preacher is foolish, he will teach foolish things that will lead the people downward because of seven reasons. One, they lack wisdom. Two, they are not teaching the people wisdom. Three, they are not giving heed. They don't care. Four,
They are not seeking God. 5, they are not setting in order many proverbs. 6, they are not seeking to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. They are not using wise words as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And guess what? All of those points I broke down, they not my points. I got all of that from Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. But God had me break it down that way so that we can see the difference between foolish leaders. So now you can see the revelation in this, because Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter in the 9th verse, it says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise. Moreover, because the preacher was wise. The preacher was wise. The preacher was wise. And he taught the people knowledge. So if he's not teaching wisdom, if he's not teaching them knowledge, and if the preacher is not wise, guess what? He's foolish. So if I'm calling these so-called spiritual leaders foolish, don't get mad at me, because I'm only preaching and teaching the word of God. You see, I'm not foolish. I may make some mistakes, but I'm not foolish. The word of God says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Now, if you come into this prayer line, if you come into midnight prayer, if you participate in with any of the events that Arise and Shine for Jesus does, then you should be learning knowledge. You should be receiving words of truth. And if you are not, then I question why you haven't corrected me yet, because you are accountable to correcting me in love. We all fall short of the glory of God, and I am not perfect. I am far from perfect. But when it comes to rightly dividing the word of truth, listen, I'm good with what I know, and I know God's word, and I like to rightly divide the word of God. And a lot of times God will use me to expose the works of the enemy. And this is such a powerful message, and I wish more people was on this line tonight. But you know what? Whoever is here is who needed to be here. And I honor God. And I said, God, if it's one person, if it's two people that come to this line, I'm still going to do what you call me to do. Because it's not about the people. It's not about the numbers. It's about how many people are receiving wisdom. How many people are being taught knowledge when they come and listen to the Holy Spirit as he speak through me, as he teach through me, as he preach through me, because it is not me. It is the Holy Ghost. And I will never steal God's glory. I will never take his shine. The cost is greatly. Satan got kicked out of heaven for stealing God's glory. So as I come to the close of this message, this is where Ephesians 4:11 and 12 comes into full focus. And this is where God shines his light brightly on the wise church leaders, excuse me, that are using their anointed members, because they are subject to God, and they are, listen to this, they are submitting to the biblical authority of God's word, and they are living a biblical principled life. They are teaching, training, preparing, and they are in position to place those in their rightful place in the body of Christ to help build the wall, the walls, according to the book of Nehemiah. Remember when God sent Nehemiah to rebuild the walls? Once he got there, he took a look. He went on a tour. He went by himself. Nobody could go with him. And he couldn't even tell them why he was really there. And at the appointed time, God let him know it's okay. Let them know the plan, because you're going to assign them. You're going to place different ones on this side of the wall. And you're going to place different ones at this gate. And you're going to place ones at this gate. And I want them to work. And I want them to have their weapons in the hand at the same time. And then I want you to appoint some of the trumpets, the people to blow the horns when the enemy comes, so that they will know what position to take on the wall. You see, we got to learn how to operate together as a unit We are many members but one body. We can't be many members and many bodies. We must submit to the biblical authority of God's word. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 11th and the 12th verses says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Well, apostles are a gift to the body of Christ. Prophets are a gift to the body of Christ. Evangelists are a gift to the body of Christ. Pastors are a gift to the body of Christ. Teachers are a gift to the body of Christ. As a gift to the body of Christ, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, their function is found in Ephesians 4 and 12, which says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints. Let me say that one more time. It is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, let me read that again, because sometimes we get stuck on church, but it ain't talking about a church. It says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Oh, have you been called to ministry? Did God give you a ministry? Guess what? It's not in the church. It wasn't birthed out of the church. It ain't going to come out of the church. That's why you're not comfortable in the church, because God gave you a ministry. And if you're waiting for this foolish leader to affirm you, to confirm you, to appoint you, to ordain you, and to tell you that it's okay for you to do what God has called you to do, guess what? You're walking in a spirit of rebellion and disobedience. Why would you go to man and get a lie spoken to you? Because they're not going to tell you, yes, this is what God has called you to do. But if God has told you that you've been called to ministry, you stay in agreement with what God said, and you be obedient, and you do what God said. Don't worry about what man is saying, because they don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. So why did God say, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry? I'm tired and sick and tired of all of this church nonsense. We need to get into relationship with God. So for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So why? Well, the why answer is found in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. And this is going to close it up. Till we all come. Till we all come. Not till the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers come, but it says till we all come in the unity, till we all come in the unity of faith, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Knowledge. Here's that word knowledge again, which I cannot get away from Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, because if you are under God-centered leadership, guess what? You should be receiving wisdom. You should be receiving knowledge. So Ephesians 4 and 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My name is Apostle Stacy Lunsford, and this is the end of this message that has been entitled Apostolic Leaders in the Houses That They Build or the Houses That They Tear Down. And I pray that you were blessed by this message. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that this word has fallen on good soil, on good ground. We thank you for convicting our hearts through this message. We pray for those, Father God, that truly have a desire to grow and to learn who they are and to learn their gifts and to learn their callings and to walk worthy of the vocation that they have been called. Father, we break the chains of bondage off of your people. We break the spirit of error. And we lose the spirit of liberty, and we lose the spirit of truth, and we lose the holy, bold spirit. Father God, help us to study to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Father God, everybody that is at a ministry that is not of you, and they are not being taught, they are not being trained, I'm asking you, Father God, to speak to them. I'm asking you to lead them and guide them to a Bible-believing and a Bible-teaching church where they ministry, where they can grow
and receive the nutrients they need out of your word, God. Father, I pray for those that have reached out to leadership and they were rejected and they were neglected. They were wounded. They were turned away. They were abandoned and they were led astray. I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. I cover them with the blood of Jesus from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. I release the power of the blood of Jesus. I release a spirit of repentance in the name of Jesus. Father God, every area of their minds, body, soul, and spirit where they have separated themselves from doing what you have called them to do because they was wounded, God. Thank you for letting them come back to you. Thank you for opening up their eyes, God. Thank you for removing scales from blinded eyes and allowing them to see with their spiritual eyes, God. Father, we pray their strength in you. Let them be strong and of good courage. Bring back to their remembrance all that they have studied and learned in your word and help them, Father God, to be strong and of good courage and do what you are calling them to do. We pray for their minds. We pray for, Father God, their thinking, their thought process. We thank you for the regeneration process. We thank you for those that got saved and was never taught about the regeneration process. We thank you for those that didn't know that they needed to go deeper into their relationship with you, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, that they needed to learn the word of God, that they needed to learn how to pray, they needed to learn the books of the Bible, they needed to learn about you, God, because you said in Isaiah 43 and verse 10 that we are your witnesses and your servants, and you desire that we should know you and understand you, and that before you there was no God made, neither will there be after you. Father God, there are some things that your people are not being taught, and we need to learn that our regeneration process is an ongoing process because you said that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And Father God, when we first come to you, whatever it is, the way we was living our lives, it is subject to change. And sometimes you heal us and you deliver us instantly. And sometimes people go through a process. And Father, wherever they are at in their process, we thank you for enabling them to see you in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the hurt, in the midst of the pain. Use it all for your glory. Now, God, every ascension gift that has been called, anointed, and appointed by you, we pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, that you would release a fresh anointing upon them, God. We pray that you would release new strategies, release new weapons, and teach them how to pray, oh God, with the weapons of their warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we cancel every assignment of the enemy, God. Father, everything that the enemy has been doing and putting their mouths against the true men and women of God, even the sheep in the church, God, that they don't want to see grow and come into the fullness of what you have called them to be, like Saul did to David. Father, we bind the spirit of Saul tonight, and we loose the spirit of David, God. Father God, we thank you for mentorship. Thank you even for the message when you showed the comparison of Elijah and Elisha. We thank you for the training. We thank you for the development of your prophets, oh God, of your students. And we ask that you will teach us, that you will lead us, that you will guide us. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen, amen, amen. And the prayer line is open. Do we have any comments, any questions, any words of encouragement? Okay, if we don't have any comments.
Hey, Stacy.
Hi, how are you?
I find my phone. I'm fine, thank you. The message was very good. And it's the truth. The word is true. And I have seen some little things in some churches where the congregation, the assembly is being held back for one reason or another. not growing like they should. But then you have to be still and let God do what he's going to do anyway. But I enjoyed it, you know, and the leaders, you know, they have their challenges along the way, though, but still they're there to train and to teach us and, like you said, help us to work at our own ministry. So, you know, we just have to make sure that we're in tune with the Lord, to know that it's not self-reacting or opinions, and knowing that it's God.
And, you know, we have to try the fruit. I mean, we have to examine the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times we overlook things, and that's why I said it's so important. Don't just make a decision on your own. It's important that we seek God and let God lead us, because many people will leave and they miss what they were supposed to learn.
Right, right. That's true. That's
and so,
so true.
Yeah, and it's hard because you really...
What happened?
I don't know. This phone been acting up all night. You're hungry and you really want to learn and you really want to grow, but what do you do? And it's a confusing process. And Lord knows it took me a long time to understand. And now that I understand, I'm a little bit more understanding, and even with... It's a distinct difference between a leader that has gone astray, and you know that they really love God and they just need to get back on point. And that's where we stand in the gap for them. But if God straight up is saying this is a false prophet, no, they don't get no grace. We pray for them, yes. We pray for their salvation, that they could come to Christ, because it's a strong possibility they can get healed. They could get saved, they could get delivered. But if you purposely leading God's people astray, oh no, you're going to be exposed. Especially if they treating Jeremiah, you know. And the thing that's so deep, Jeremiah knew what they was doing. In Psalm 64, it exposes the conspiracy that was against David. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. God knows everything. But the bottom line is we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We just have all of these people, apostles, this and that. I mean, you know, titles don't mean nothing. If we're not doing the work, what does it mean? You know, in Ephesians 4:11-12, it has the titles, but then it has the functions, and then it tells us why. And Gertrude, if every believer simply read those three scriptures and got understanding, I believe it would open up everybody's understanding.
Yes, it would, you know. I mean, I'll just take myself, for example. I can't talk about nobody else. And it's in the book, so my life is open book anyway. And even reading the book, I mean, you know, I realized that even though you don't like sometimes... Like you said, you have to try spirit by spirit, see if the leader's being led by the Spirit of God. But also, when you have yourself all jacked up, you're in a state of confusion. You don't know which direction to go in, because you can't discern the Spirit, I'll put it that way. But for my own self, I would be in a situation, and God would tell me to do certain things, and I would do it. In the end, I couldn't understand, I couldn't realize the voice that was talking to me. Like, okay, he had me to have go to a meeting in my church. He said, I want you to go. I was asked to sit down. And after I read the book, I see my attitude was very, very bad, which blocked me from receiving a lot of stuff. I had to admit that after God revealed the stuff to me. If it's not revealed to you, you're going to still go around that same circle. But he had me, I was sitting down, I was asked to sit down. And I have been as a hostess, I've seen where other people have sat down and for whatever reason. But when it came to yourself, it's a whole different story. And one morning he woke me up and he says, I want you to go to church and I want you to go to this meeting. I want you to sit in the back. I don't want you to say anything to anybody. And I called the ministry, and I spoke to the head person, and they hesitated, but thank God they was in tune with the Spirit of God, because God had to show me something. And like I said, so I went to the meeting, and I did what the Lord told me to do. And I'm sitting there in the meeting, listening, just listening to what's going on at the meeting, and they're in the front, and I'm in the back just sitting. And while I'm sitting there, I start hearing the voices saying that they don't want you here. They have more fun without you. You don't belong here, blah, 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 blah. And I got to the point, I'm sitting there, I'm saying, oh, my God. And so when I left out the meeting, the head person, because I went to a meeting to get an answer. That's what I went to do. And the head person asked me, said, well, what you going to do? And I said to her, I said, I'm more confused now than ever. I said, I'm not sure. And she said, well, then just wait on the Lord and let the Lord tell you what to do. And so after I left out, the Holy Ghost said to me, he said, that was not my voice you heard. I wasn't speaking to you like that. And I felt so bad because one of my goals was to learn the voice of the Lord, you know, so I won't be stumbling and stuff like that. But by him telling me that, when the leader asks you to do something and you don't have that understanding why that leader, because they're supposed to take care of the sheep. That's their responsibility. But if you don't have that understanding and you're not the sensitive spirit of God and know definitely, you know, what's going on, then you miss it. And then you leave the church. And then you take all that baggage with you. And you just start all over again because somebody else is going to say something that you're not going to agree with. And then there's getting an understanding of what's going on by the Holy Spirit. You just keep church hopping, trying to see where you fit in it. You know?
And you know what? And thank you for sharing that, because, you know, it's real. And it's really time for us, you know, pencils have erasers on there. Because if you make a mistake, you can erase it and you can write it over again. Makeup exams is the same way. When we repent, we got an opportunity to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, there's a lot that's been done wrong. There's a lot that's been done right. And the bottom line is, it's not a time to point fingers or to fault find. It's okay.
It's time to pray for your leaders in the church.
Yes. And it's time to raise the standard of accountability and responsibility. And we all must examine ourselves and make sure we are where we need to be with God, and that we're doing what he is telling us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And once we pray for people, that's all we could do, because we can't change people.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. And even if a spiritual leader falls short, we are to restore them in love. We expect them to restore us in love, so we need to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We got a lot of spiritual leaders that are wounded, that are broken, that are suicidal, that are depressed, they are discouraged, because the leaders threw them, the members threw them under the bus, and some of the leaders, because
that
they fell short
so
of the glory of God.
That is so true. I was listening to a minister this morning, and that's what she covered. She's always saying that, you know, we're how church hurt. The church hurt me, and it wouldn't be taken lightly that it happens in the church, but she reversed it this morning, and leaders hurt, and she covered all areas, and she brought about 10, the pastor who found suicide, you know, in the city. She brought other pastors in, not realize the congregation. I realize the mandate on a leader's life is tremendous, and they go through stuff that you don't even know what they go through. Instead of praying about you, talking about them, you know, and instead of lifting them up. And that's what, you know, so it's on both sides. You know, and there's got to be a balance there, you know, where you're both sides are sensitive and not, not you don't have jealous leaders in the church that you think your congregation is going to take over your folks too much or do so much, I guess. And then you got the members in the church, you know, they being stifled for whatever reason. And then when you do let them go, then they get overboard, and then they got to get reprimanded. Then they want to leave out the church, you know. So it's on both sides that you have to pray for both sides, hold both sides up, because we're all accountable. When you get before God, he's going to ask you, you know, you're accountable for your behavior. So, and then you have days, every, you know, the devil's releasing all that he can to destroy the church as it is, the body of Christ, you know. So he's coming like a roaring lion, but he's not a roaring lion, so.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing, and thank you for joining me tonight. And when I got started, it's like the phone just started acting up, and it was asking me to put all of these codes in, and I said, okay, we going to go through this route tonight. I don't get frustrated no more. I just laugh because, you know what? Getting mad ain't going to change nothing, and the devil's still a liar.
That's right. That's right. You don't need to undo stress, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good message. It was a good message, you know.
Well, thank you.
More people need to hear it, you know. Because, you know, like I said, even like last week, there was something that was challenging me at my own church. And I said, God, you know what? I'm not going to let this bother me no more. I'm just going to come. I'm just going to listen to you. I'm just going to do what you tell me to and leave it like that there. And a couple of days later, something happened at the church, and I guess I was acknowledged, but when my children was acknowledged in the situation, I said, okay, God, I told you I'm going to leave it with you, you know. And he did. I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to leave it with you. Because, you know, there's time and season for everything. You know,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes we try to get ahead of the season or being held back from the time where you might think it's time, they don't think it's time, you don't think it's time, they think it's time. So it's like, okay, God, I say you got to listen to God. You got to be tuned to the Spirit of God and don't try to take things in your own hands. You know, so.
And that's true. And even tonight in the message, timing, you know, we really have to learn how to wait on God's timing, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of times we move too soon. A lot of times we get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your breakthrough is like right there, but the devil is doing so much that you're frustrated and irritated. And as soon as you move, bam, here come your boat.
Yeah. You know, you break through right there, and then you decide to throw up the towel, throw in the towel, quit, and you just miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why God said, co-labor with him. Don't get ahead of him, don't get behind, but co-labor with him. That's one thing he told me in 2008. He said, I don't want you to get ahead of me, I don't want you to get behind, I want you to co-labor with me.
Mm-hmm.
That way you're right in the step and sink in the steps where he wants you to be at, because you're walking with him, you know, and you're not running ahead.
Yes.
So, but it was good. But it's always good anyway.
Well, praise God. Praise God. So,
yes, ma'am.
Are we on the schedule for September?
I told you, you didn't give me a schedule.
Okay.
What did I say?
I had my schedule. And I'm going to take heed to your suggestion, and I'm going to actually send you. Well, you know what? Let's hang up here so that we can talk offside of the line, because I'm still recording.
Yes,
let me
ma'am.
Turn off the recording.
I won't be recorded.
Yeah.